Friday. Ha ha ha! It's Friday night and I dropped a mic. It's the Treasure Coast Fishing Report. Are you feeling a little soggy? Are you feeling a little froggy? And you don't know which way to leap? Well, we'll keep it happy and we'll keep it neat. I'm at that, but at Memorial Day weekend, you know, some gave all. Some gave, all gave some gave all. It's time to have that memory, and it is the beginning of real barbecue season and some other stuff. And I actually had a friend down from far, from Canada, and took her fishing this week, and she actually got her first bite. She whiffed a fish. She'd have been with the boss. She probably would have hooked it, because when it comes to fishing, here's Freddie.
Thank you, Dominic. Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. It's Friday night. It's not exactly what we would all picture going into a nice holiday weekend. Kind of a crappy Friday, I'd say.
Well,
you know,
this morning wasn't bad.
That wasn't bad.
This morning wasn't
bad. And the other thing is, there's a bright side to everything. All that little freshet water coming into the snook shrimp tank are making those shrimp rather amorous. And you always have to add that to it, because, and there was some good people in today. I got to tell you, a guy walked up to me today in a snook, and he says, "You're Dominic. You're famous. I seen you on the web."
That's scary.
Very
That's
scary.
Scary, for sure. Oh, well, yeah, kind of a wet start to the weekend, but I think we're gonna get away with a couple of good days. You got a big tournament weekend. The Treasure Coast Builders Tournament is tomorrow. They have both an inshore and an offshore division for that tournament. A lot of boats, good bit of money going up for that. Captain's meeting was tonight, probably going on right about now. But that's a big one, and they have prizes and cash for everything from grouper and snapper to dolphin and kingfish and wahoo, junior angler divisions and the whole nine yards. So very cool, very good event, and a lot of people get involved. They really have a good bit of boats that are.
Are you hearing kingfish still hanging around?
Yeah, that's yeah. been, you know, and that's we. I talk to Captain Bill Taylor every week, and you know, he's down there out of Jupiter on the Black Dog, and he's talking, you know, better kingfish season than we've seen in probably the last 2, 3, 4 years.
That's what I've been hearing too. Yeah,
we see them every year, but you know, I can remember 8 and 10 years back. You know, if you didn't have a 50-plus pound kingfish, you weren't really in the running, or an upper 40-pound fish. I mean, big smoker fish, you know, 32 pounds, you weren't really worried about weighing that fish. So, you know, we went through some years where it was rather slow, smaller fish around. But, you know, this year we've seen, man, I've seen many, many 40-pounders, you know, some in the upper 40s, close to 50, a lot of 30-pound fish. So it's good to see. It's good to see a little bit bigger numbers and bigger fish just in general. So
when do those southern kingfish guys come through? Next month, right?
It's about this. It's, you know, we're getting into that time.
Boy,
you know,
when they spend some money on their boats.
You see, when you start seeing those, you know, $500,000 center consoles rolling through downtown Jensen and downtown Stewart, you know, you're talking 36-foot yellow fins with 4 350s on the back of it.
I was about to say, I wonder if they extend those transoms or they widen them, because last year about this time, just like Freddie said, there's a guy coming up Indian River Drive to make it at the turnaround, and that rear end, for lack of a better word, the stern on that boat was as wide as 9 baseball fields. I mean, and he had 4 350 Verados on the back.
Yeah, and it's nothing for those guys. You know, when you, a lot of those tournaments, the boundaries, if there are any at all, are very, very wide. So if they've got to run down to Miami because there's a good bite out of the Jupiter Inlet or out of the St. Lucie Inlet, they can be there in an hour, 2 hours, you know, and fish with ample enough time. You know, their whole thing is go fast and get where the fish are, and then get back in time to make the weigh-in. So, yeah, and there's no shortage. It's, and there's big money in it. You know, and a lot of it is to who's the baddest in the fleet, by all means. You know, most of the people that are heavily involved in it, I don't think the money is the main reasoning behind going
all out. Oh, no, it's the buffed up buttons busting off
their
shirt.
You know, yeah. It's, we're the best of the fleet. So, and it's it brings a lot of attraction from a lot of big heavy hitters. You know, there's Calcutta's involved for hundreds of thousands of dollars as well. So that certainly plays a factor. But most of them, by all means, are just looking to stick the biggest fish and go home with number one.
You know, it brings up a real point that Freddie always mentions. Well, he mentions it quite often, how we have the most extensive resource, the most ample opportunities, and here we are. He just mentions a couple of million-dollar boat with four engines on it. Sometimes yesterday, mid-morning, I was busy paddling home in the kayak. But, you know, the access, just drive out A1A, parked there right by across from Shuckers. I mean, a little bit further up there. Yep, you can go up to Blind Creek. You can go up to Canoe Creek.
Are you saying I don't have to spend $400,000 to catch fish?
That's what I'm about to say. You don't have to. But it is fascinating to me. And this is something Freddie laughs about it, and I've seen it happen. The guys come in, and they buy the up, the boop, the ba da ba, and they don't have a clue. They don't know how to tie a knot. They don't know. They come in, they say, will you set it up for me? And Freddie has to stop what he's doing, go in the back, get some leader, get a hook, get a sinker, get this. And the guy comes back with a 29-inch snook.
Right on the button, yeah. Never fails. Yeah, you know, you see those kingfish guys in those big, beautiful boats, you know, with the, you know, just tons and tons of money dumped into those things. But I'll tell you, the best part on them is the beanbag. That's the best, the
Freddy
best,
and his beanbag.
The best place on that boat when you're going 50 miles an hour running the ditches, sitting in that beanbag. That's for sure. We got a call already, Frank?
We do. We've got Patrick from the Daymaker.
Oh, hey, nice. Captain Pat Price. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, man, just hanging out, looking at raindrops. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, this does about as much for you as it does for us, huh? Not a whole lot.
Yep, we are in the same boat here. No pun intended.
Yeah,
hey,
right.
Anyway, I was just heading home from the TCBA registration. The tournament tomorrow. I think hopefully weather will be decent. Maybe a little bit of shower in the morning. But fishing's been pretty good. I was boat number 96 to register, and there was a good line behind me. So I think there'll be 100-plus boats, which will be cool.
Excellent.
And, been a lot of snappers and a lot of kingfish around, and I'm sure somebody will find a big dolphin, although that's been sporadic, but I think it'd be a good turnout. So if anybody's listening and wants to come to the weigh-in tomorrow, it starts, I think, at 4 o'clock at Pirates Cove. It'd be a fun time.
Yeah, and usually, I mean, you know, then they've got prizes. I was talking earlier for a lot of fish. You know, it's not just KDW. They've, you know, grouper, snapper, everything kind of plays a hand in winning a few bucks, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the paying prizes are dolphin, kingfish, grouper, snapper, wahoo, and then they have prizes for cobia, kubera, snapper, which they separated the categories out of the snapper a few years ago because all the guys that mutton fish were complaining the kuberas will win it every year.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. And then they've got like a top lady and a top junior angler that get separate prizes. But there's plenty going on. There's lots of lots of giveaways, lots of drawings, raffles you can enter. So it should be a good time. Somebody's looking for something to do on a Saturday before you spend time with your family on Sunday and Monday. And it's, I don't know, it should be fun.
About, what is that, 3:30 at Pirates Cove?
I think 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. You've got to be checked in by 4 to weigh in. I think, I don't know what time the scale opens, but you got to be in line by 4 o'clock. So obviously, they're going to probably start weighing fish by 4 or a little earlier. Somebody comes in early. And a lot of that may be weather-dependent, too. People, if we get afternoon weather like today, there might be a lot of boats sitting there early weighing in fish. But I think the festivities are supposed to start at 4 o'clock, and obviously it's a good venue for it. And like I said, the fishing's been good. I think Rocky, I heard while I was down there today on the safari, caught a 43-pound king. We saw a nice one a couple days ago airing out on some live baits while we were anchored up and some chum that was probably 35-plus pounds. And there hasn't been a lot of dolphins around, but when you put 100-plus boats out there goofing off,
somebody will find one.
A big dolphin. So,
yeah.
And the snapper fishing has been exceptional the last 4 or 5 days. We you know, we've had some really good fishing. Not great big fish, but a lot of fish in the 7 to 10 pound range. We caught a limit of 20 of them yesterday, mangroves and muttons, and picked away at them today with some veterans that we took fishing before the weather got us. But
groceries.
The plastic guys doing it. There'll be some big muttons weighed in, and hopefully some big groupers.
Hey, Captain Pat, you know, even though you're looking more and more like Ernest Hemingway every day, you happen to be the guy that spends more time out on that blue water than anybody I know. And what's the safety issue, Captain? I mean, we're seeing some pretty serious lightning strikes and some boomers. And, I mean, if somebody wants to go out there just to watch, or somebody's really not as adept or experienced as you are, it would seem to me when it gets like it's gotten... like it is right this minute, it ain't time to be out there fishing, no?
No, you definitely don't want to be out there right now. I mean, obviously the atmosphere is volatile. What I will say is when stuff travels from the east, typically it's moving a lot slower than the storms that we get that come off the coast in the afternoon, so you can have a little more time. This morning we started fishing around 6:30 for bait, and the storm that eventually hit us around 12:30, 1 o'clock, was 35 miles away, so it slowly drifted to the west. But when we get these afternoon storms that blow up, you know, on the lake and everything, and just they just pack a huge punch, sometimes those can move at 30 or 40 miles an hour, and literally from the time the sky turns dark to the time that you hit the dock, that thing's already offshore. So that's something certainly to pay attention to. Obviously, we've had some very horrible tragedies in the last few years between the boys in Jupiter and the deputy and his son here a couple months ago offshore. And it just pays to do your due diligence and make sure that you have the proper safety equipment. Because you can't always time it perfectly. Even with all the technology we have on our boat and as precautious as I am with not wanting to put anybody in jeopardy on the boat, including myself and the boat, we opt to bail out a lot earlier than most people, and we still get caught in the mix of it. And I can't stand lightning. I hate it. So.
Yeah. Well, you know what a good friend of ours, Captain Pete Briggs, says about that. When you can feel the electricity humming up and down the downriggers, motor, don't fail me now. You know?
Yeah. Well, with all the electronic motors and electronic throttles nowadays, you don't have to get a direct hit to shut your system down. So. You can see the byproduct of a strike on the water, and it can, you know, the static electricity can shut everything down. We've had kite lines burn kites off from static electricity from lightning storms, or just a sheer bolt that came out of nowhere, which that's the crazy part about living in Florida. A lot of people don't understand. I mean, you can be 10 miles on the edge of a storm and still get struck by a bolt of lightning. So
yep.
That's not something that we play around with, and it's not good for business. And I learned a long time ago when I had my kid, they can't raise themselves.
So, on the side of caution.
Yeah. And people that are with us are the benefit of that.
Before we run the break, Captain, I wonder what a real long-time blue water pro like you thinks about these guys running into your back rod, into your backyard, and they're going to show you how to fish.
You know what? It's fishing. I mean, I learned that a long time ago. No matter how lucky you are, somebody can have a little more luck any given day.
That's for sure.
You know, I mean, it is what it is. I've seen people go out for their first time ever on their new boat and catch a blue marlin or catch a 100-pound wahoo out of Stewart, and that just never happened, you know? So, that's the way it is. That's part of the game. And when you have this many boats in the mix and everybody putting 4 or 6 lines in times 100-plus boats, somebody's going to get lucky. And that, you know, like I've always said, I'd rather be lucky than good any day when it comes to this kind of stuff. So.
That's for sure. Captain Pat Price, give us the phone number, buddy.
It's 772-405-0091, daymakerfishing.com.
And that's the day maker, and if you want your day made, that's the guy to go with, because I got to tell you, old Captain Pat Price puts him on the fish. We got to take a break, Captain. You be safe out there this weekend, okay?
All right. Well, we check big ones because we break reels all the time.
Thank you, Pat. Hey, break something, bring it to me to fix, okay?
Thank you, Pat. 220-9788. We'll be right back, guys.
Okay, we're back. And you know, it's funny too, because last week we did talk about leaving those snook alone up on the jetty and the beach. And I've gotten to see a couple in the second trough just swimming. Didn't look like they were busy, but I suspect that they're busy.
I'll tell you what, if you plan on eating snook in any time in the near future, you better get busy, because you got till Tuesday.
You
got the weekend, you got the holiday, and then Tuesday you're done. Tuesday is the first, right?
Yeah.
Tuesday's the 31st.
So Tuesday at midnight. So you got till Tuesday at midnight.
I'm not going to say exactly where, but for the previous few weeks, every single morning, old Carl and I, the rod wrapping guy, we've been watching, and this is no exaggeration, we've been watching 10, 15, 20 of them just hanging around, getting that little early morning sunlight, but they're not here now. They're gone. They're up busy in the river.
They're moving around. They're starting to stage up towards the inlets, move around that 10-cent bridge, all of that Sewell's Point area, into the pocket there.
Up into the flats, too?
Yeah, we're starting to see them on the flats as well. It's not really, you don't see a lot of... I'm not going to say you don't see them, but you don't see as many as those bigger fish.
Okay.
You know, most of them are going to be moving to the beach this time of year. They're going to be moving from the bridges, making their way towards the inlet. It's the spawning time. That's the reason that we have the 3-month closure. That's the reason there's so many of them at the inlets. That's the reason there's so many of them moving up and down the beach. It's that time of year. They spawn. They're there to make more snook. So they basically eat whatever you throw at them at that point, which, you know, we, like Dominic said, talked last week about not, you know, beating the heck out of those fish at the jetty. If you're going to go there and catch one or two, get a quick picture, get them back in the water, it's one thing. But to sit there all day long, day after day, and just wear each fish out, fishing live baits, even if you're using circle hooks, you're going to gut hook some fish. It's just there's no reason to really have any kind of mortality rate for that fishery that time of year, because you can't do anything with them anyhow.
Yeah.
So take care of the fish if you're going to catch them. I'm not against going through there and catching a few fish. You got somebody on the boat, you know, never caught a snook before, or you personally just want to try and get a bigger snook. You know, that's in your right. You're not allowed to fish for them. So just handle them, you know, right. Don't hang them up by their jaw. Don't grab the boga grip and weigh them vertically. You know, put your hand under their stomach. Support them, keep them in the water until you're ready to snap a picture, and then pull them out real quick, get them right back in.
Exactly. So
you do get caught sitting there having a photo contest. They can write you a ticket for it. You can't just be sitting there playing with that fish knowing it's out of season. Why are you possessing it for so long knowing you can't keep it? And they're going to have a problem with it.
A funny tale from Captain Woody, one of our most industrious employees, who will get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go fishing for 3 hours before it's time for him to come to work at 6 o'clock. And he said he was up by Bear Creek, up by Bear Point there, and he was standing, okay, I'm going to say 30 yards here, and he didn't catch anything. And the guy 30 yards north of him caught 7 trout, 2 snook, and 4 jacks. And Woody, what happened?
He said, I don't know. Wasn't my day. He'd been doing pretty well up there. And he finally got a day where he wasn't the winner of it. So. No, but really nice trout up that way. Been catching nice flounder. How you cooking your flounder, Dominic? You know, everybody comes in and they're all, you know, and everybody's so intimidated about cleaning a flounder.
The problem with flounder is they're very soft, very, they're not exactly bland, but the two terrible mistakes to make with a flounder is A, to over oil it, or B, overspice it. The best way to cook flounder is just in a little light butter and a little bit of lemon and garlic powder. Not raw garlic or crushed garlic. Just a little bit of lemon, and it takes less than 2 minutes to cook a good-sized flounder. Now, there's many different kinds of flounders. There's wreck sole, Dover sole, the kind of flounder we get here. But the secret is to skin them lightly, leave the skin on side, and leave that fillet, and just cook it on the fillet side. Don't cook the skin side. Don't turn it over. A little bit of butter in the pan, a little bit of garlic powder on the skin side, and a little bit of not industrial lemon juice. Just squeeze a little lemon, period. And serve it with some sourdough French bread or some really crispy French fried potatoes. They're good eating, I guarantee.
I figured you'd have an answer for that one. And it wasn't just going to be in a pan on 350 for 2 minutes. We'd get a little more than that. So that's a nice surprise for a lot of guys. I wouldn't say that I really have anybody that comes in the store that targets flounder.
I target them. Well, so does Billy Shoelaces. We target them.
You and Billy Shoelaces.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't really talk to a whole lot of other people besides you and Billy Shoelaces that can target flounder. But you get everybody come in and you say, hey, how'd you do? And that's the focal point of their outing is, well, we caught this, but we got a flounder, you know, but we got a flounder. Everybody's always so excited about getting one and never really expecting it. Now you go out and actually target them. There's a couple of ways you do it. I mean, what's your deal? You like a shrimp on a popping cord?
You're not tight-lipping? No, nothing beats a DOA call jig with a little either root beer or darker color mullet. And do like you do pompano fishing. Just throw it out there and let it pop in the sand. Don't retrieve it like a lure. Just put it out there and pop it. Let that little puff of sand happen. And the funny thing is, sometimes you hit them right on the head. Remember where the old Pelican bridge used to be, the dock used to be up in Herman's Bay? That place is loaded with flounder. And, when Al had the platform boat that we could stand up, you can actually see them, but they're masters of camouflage. And the funny thing is, the people who come down here from up north, they think of the old flounder and fluke days when you could catch the 6, 8, and 10 pounders. Yeah, they're not here like that anymore. Yeah, but good fishery, and you know who's really good at catching flounders? Captain Justin. He's really good at it.
He's one of the ones that does actually go target them.
Yeah, and he does it. He has that. All he does is snap his wrist. He doesn't lift a rod or reel. He just drops it and snaps his wrist. Then, and he's drifting, of course, so then he snaps his wrist again. And it's that puff in the sand. And flounder are very aggressive.
Oh, yeah, and if he doesn't get them with the jig and that, he sticks them with a trident.
I know he does. Yeah, he gets them.
Bad day of fishing, they just turn the lights on at night in the gigging boat and take a ride down the west side of the river and stick a few in the head to satisfy the craving. You know, and when you... And like I said, you don't... I don't, you know, I'd say... 5%, maybe 3% of the people that we see, which is a lot, say, yeah, I'm going flounder fishing, you know. Very, very few people that I talk to. But when you talk to somebody that gigs for them, man, the whole west side of the river's covered up. You know, you got guys that go out and catch limits for multiple people, which you don't really hear a lot from rod and reelers. Obviously, they're never really not going to bite the end of a gig head, but, you know, you get out there at night and you can actually see the volume of fish that we really have. So you get out there and like Dominic was saying, just work that a DOA bait across the bottom. The gulp baits are very, very effective.
Yeah, and New Penny shrimp in the gulp.
New Penny's a great bait, and you know, with that gulp bait, just make sure you use that scent to your advantage. They give you that scent. Don't overwork that bait and move it too fast to where that scent's not really putting a trail off. You're just kind of, you know, eliminating the reasoning of having that.
I'm going to give you
slow.
I'm going to give you a little secret here. You can take all your DOA call baits, okay? A little bit of menhaden oil and a little bit of vinegar.
Yummy.
That's all. That's okay. And the other thing is, and it, you guys aren't big on it down here, but smelly jelly. What do we got? We got that.
I don't know, but I'm not ever having dinner at your house.
No. Come on. What is it?
We have broke here.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, the fish that don't hunt by sound or sight hunt by scent. And if you look at a flounder, he's got his nose pretty much buried. I mean, his body pretty much buried in the sand, but his nose is sticking right up there. So you take a mix of menhaden oil or some of that, and this is something I learned the hard way, but it really works. A little hypodermic of some of that. You get one of those oil bottles with the needle on it and push it into the soft bait and let that scent infect inside it. And then do exactly what I said. Just snap it along the bottom, and the flounder will find it. They will. Billy Shoelaces, one of the other things is kayak fishing. Kayaks don't scare flounders.
You know, run right over. Well, you know, you see that gigging, you can get right on top of them before they do anything.
They don't. So. They don't seem to like you can. I can watch a paddle stroke and watch the trout bust off or the redfish bust off. Flounder just lay there. They don't care. You're not a threat to them.
Yeah.
But if you bounce that jig, and oh, boy, we're not going to talk about it yet, but if the water was a little clearer, flounder fishing is a lot easier.
Yes, that's for sure. We're going to take a quick break, guys. 220-9788. It's WSTU.
Boy, I'm really excited about thinking about flatfish again, because the Mac Daddy King of all flatfish is their halibut. And sometimes you go up in Alaska.
Just fishing for the halibut, right?
Just fishing for the halibut. But you know what? If you've never caught a barn door, you don't know what, I mean, those things. And I'm talking a 200 to 300 pound halibut. And they get on the boat. I had about a 80 pounder tear up a little igloo cooler. I mean, chewed it to bits. They do not kid around. They are ferocious. And the pro guys just shoot them before they put them in the boat. Because they're so...
Make a Kobe look like a wimp.
Oh, really? Yeah. And with teeth.
Yeah.
And lots of them.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, there's another cousin of that fish in the cod family. And it's funny. If you really want to be a good fisherman, you got to be a partial ichthyologist. You got to understand that there's a whole... The largest family of fish is the perch family, and then the salmonoid family, and the flatfish family, and then there's the cod family. And the ugliest fish in the world is a lingcod. And they got big, monster teeth, and the teeth point inwards. So once you get your hand in there, you can't get it back out.
Buddy.
Oh, there are, and they're ugly, and they're blue and green, but they're delicious. And and they're just delicious. But we have, you know, we're going to spend a little time here talking about the most diverse estuary body in the entire continental United States, and we live there.
Over 800 species.
What?
Over 800 species.
Of 800, yeah. And within a 3-mile radius from Sebastian to Sailfish Point, at any given point, there's more than 225 species of marine life within that 300-mile radius. And we're talking crustaceans, we're talking scallopods, oleopods, nathiopods, all kinds of different, both juvenile and mature fish. We got the big king, we got the dolphin that, and this is going to interest you now, this. The only mammalian species that has their brain developed to the level of humans, and they're not sure that it's not more developed, is dolphins. And I have watched them do some pretty amazing stuff. And I've seen them on one end of my dock. There'll be three or four of them. And they're pushing the bait towards the beach. And there's three or four of them behind in the shallow water. They chew up the bait. Then they switch places. They do.
They're very, very smart.
The ones that got to eat, herd. And the ones that were herd and eat.
Anybody that's been offshore and been bait fishing or bottom fishing, you know, they won't take your hooks because they know just where to eat that bait or just where to take your fish from. they will never get on the hook. They'll just hold on to that fish as long as they need to until they can get it from you.
Yeah.
And once they're on you, you've really got to haul off and move, and I mean a good ways. If you only, you know, move a mile or so, guess what? He's going to be right back behind you here in a minute. But, you know, they will ruin a good bite very quickly because they will just rob you of everything you try and pull off that bottom.
My experience at the Miss, and please forgive me my musical inability, but the boys are back in town. The boys are back in town, and if they want to fight, you better let them. Because once I see dolphin on the dock, I leave because that's it. What's ever there is heading for the high ground. They know that there is no fish in our habitat that swims that a dolphin won't eat. They take anything from a giant snook to a glass minnow. They don't kid around. When they're hungry, they're going to eat.
Yeah, there's some great photos out there of them throwing around. I mean, it's heartbreaking as an angler, but, I mean, 25-pound snook just tossing them in between one another.
Yeah.
You know, it'll try and get away, and they'll pick it back up and throw it in the air again.
Carl and I were on the dock there, the fishing pier underneath the Jensen Causeway, the one that's out there by the boat ramp, and we saw them one day do exactly that. They were playing basketball with a snook. One would throw it up, the other one would grab it. He'd throw it up, the other one would grab it.
Yeah, there's an incredible, there's a really incredible video. I believe it was from the west coast of around one of the bridges, and it was right up along the beach, and there was a snook that this dolphin was pursuing, and the fish was moving up and down the beach trying to get away from the dolphin, and the dolphin would just swim by at such a speed that it'd throw a wake and throw the snook up onto the beach, and then the snook would wash back in, and it'd come by again, and it'd throw it awake to where the snook would start to get sucked back onto the, you know, into the beach, and finally got it to the point and just snagged him and just kind of held him up in the air as it swam away, like, look what I got, you know. Here you guys come with your pelagic gear and your gloves and your incognito fishing rods and fluorocarbon, and we just pick off whatever we want just that easily, you know. So it's a very, very impressive to watch. So, they are very smart.
But the reason I brought up our waterways is we still have trouble. And, you know, there was a cacophony of noise made and people banging pots and pans and acting like Henny Penny, the river, the sky, everything's fallen, not so. And Freddie gave one of the most concise talks about this particular problem. It's a complex problem. It didn't happen yesterday. We're not going to fix it tomorrow. It's a serious issue, and the answers are both at the ballot box and local community organizing. And I can't say enough about Marty and Jay Honan and some of the other guys that are just tirelessly working, going to every one of the meetings, pestering every one of the legislators to the point where they see them coming and they want to run because they know they're going to get an earful.
Yeah.
But it's the other part about it is, if you're like us, now, you know, with me, if I didn't have my little fish and reel repair job, I would be in trouble. I'm old, I'm retired, and it's what I depend on for my, and it's not disposable income. Some of the times that stuff goes for groceries. So it's a part of all of us connected. And, you know, how many times have I said that fishing is not a matter of life or death? It's more important than that. And we have to be the ones that protect this resource and get the people who actually have either the political or the financial power to make something happen. And I got to tell you the truth, this morning, Happy Henry was just about as unhappy as I've ever seen him. And he said something about it this morning on his fishing report that they're going to open up the amounts again and they're going to back up into billions of gallons.
Yep.
And
here we go again. But we're going to take a quick break here.
Yeah.
And we'll touch on this a little when we come back. 220-9788. It's WSTU.
calm me down.
You're all right. You're justified. It's justifiable. It makes all of us way past angry, I'd say. You know, there's plenty of us that are very, very passionate about this. Obviously, our livelihood depends on there being a fishery here. So, unfortunately, Army Corps Engineers has juiced up the amount of lake water we are going to be receiving in light of all this weather now coming through to us. So, not exactly sure. Didn't really look at the exact numbers. Didn't want to infuriate myself that much before I came to do this radio show. So, I know it's an increase both east and west.
Back to 1.4 billion.
Yeah, figured it was some number in that range. So here it comes. Educate yourself. Know who is allowing this to happen. Obviously, we've talked about it before. It's a very complicated process. SERP has many, many different things needed to be accomplished. We already do receive a ton of money as far as, you know, preserve lands go and Martin County in general, and it's going to take a lot more. So it's, you know, it's just all about everybody, you know, knowing what's going on. Why isn't, you know, you just have to ask questions. So I'm not going to go crazy about it. Dominic is good enough at that for both of us.
Yeah.
But, you know, it does infuriate everybody. And the best thing I can tell you is just do your research. Don't just scroll Facebook and, you know, really, you know, attend a Rivers Coalition meeting. You know, do some real research. Watch a few videos. There's some great old videos. I think it's PBS did them.
Yeah.
On the Caloosahatchee, on Lake Okeechobee itself, and about all the battles from years and years ago, and how it was all misconstrued, and how we basically drained this state to develop it. So, you know, there's a lot to it. A lot of it has to do with elected officials that are certainly being taken care of by a lot of the bigger corporations. But it's going to be a long time before we see it really ever change.
But to reiterate what Freddie said, it's a complex problem. Don't just say it's all sugar or it's all agriculture. It's a malfeasance that's been allowed to spread and develop. And happens to be today is the day that Rachel Carson was born. And Rachel Carson predicted these kind of problems 65 years ago when she wrote the book Silent Spring. And this is the fact that short-term profit, non-sustainable growth, and not taking into account. I was just, because Carl and I were talking about you today, Freddie, and saying that you're the solution. We're in our 70s. We're not going to live long enough to see this turn around. But if guys your age, and I'm talking to everybody here right now, 18 to 35, this is your future. If you don't have kids yet, and you want to have kids, and you want to have your kids learn how to fish, you better get involved. Because if this does not turn around, tourism is going to take a big hit, and those of us
already
that
has already has,
yeah,
it already has,
yeah.
I, you know, you
look
have
at
to,
the numbers. Look at Ed Zach. Look at our buddies that are not getting the kind of bookings. People are calling up and saying, "Hey, how's the water?" And what are they going to tell them? Oh, it's just crystal clear and beautiful, and its salinity level is absolutely perfect. And then they get down here and choke them.
Yeah, and you know, and the fortunate thing we have is that you can come up into the Indian River. You know, when you hear about the Lake Okeechobee discharges, they discharge into the St. Lucie. Very rarely does water ever run north.
Yeah,
that water comes out of the St. Lucie Inlet, flushes back up into the St. Lucie. Yeah, it'll work its way north on an incoming tide, but generally speaking, it's not going to flow all the way to the power plant, to Jensen Causeway. The wind stirs up the bottom a little bit, and that's where you'll see your dirty water from. But, you know, the biggest problem we have in the store is everybody groups it into one. They group the Brevard County fish kill up there, up to the north, and Lake Okeechobee and the Indian River all in one group, and that's just not correct. You know, what happened up north was a completely different thing from Lake Okeechobee altogether. It was a completely separate water problem. That goes to show you what kind of damage local fertilizer, local runoff, local years of just everything can build up. And they've had fish kills before up there just because of the lack of moving water, complete depletion of oxygen. So, you know, and it's hard to make clear to some people once they've gotten hammered that, hey, this is all bad. It's really not. You can come up, and it's unfortunate that you'd have to go hide from any water. I'm not trying to sugarcoat the whole issue.
You're doing the right thing.
But when you come up out of the St. Lucie, come up into the Indian River, you know, water's not toxic. There's plenty of fish around up there, and the fishing's really been good. If you've been, you know, depriving yourself of playing around in the river or doing some fishing up around the power plant and this and that, and, you know, and the biggest thing I've heard lately is this whole Vibrio deal, you know, that happens in warm salt water. It again, really has nothing to do with Lake Okeechobee. That's right. Something that can happen in the crystal clear waters of the Bahamas.
Yeah.
You know, and I had a guy talking about it the other day. Well, a guy had, you know, he lived on the back end of a canal and, you know, this and that, and there was dead fish back there. Well, if you live on the back end of a canal where there's absolutely zero water flow, that's going to happen. So, you know, I think everybody's rash to just want to say, everything's dead, the whole river's polluted. That's certainly not the case. You've been missing out on some really good fishing in the Indian River. That whole Martin County stretch, it's been good. So, and again, the main thing is to educate yourself. Don't just believe anything you hear from anybody. There's plenty of people that are doing and in this for the right reason, but there's some people that aren't. So
stay away from the professional fundraisers. Be careful where you give money to. All right, listen. I am an 18-month combat veteran in Vietnam. I've been wounded twice. I've got 2 decorations for valor. And Memorial Day really means a lot to me because I left a lot of good guys over there. And I wrote a book. And my book was just reviewed, and in the review, it was mentioned a quote from Robert E. Lee. It is a good thing that war is so terrible, lest we get used to it. So all he is this weekend that are taking a minute to remember those that died in service. And I don't want to hear any political nonsense about this, that, or that guy, or the other guy. The fact is, when they put on the uniform, they represent us all. And any of your political nonsense, save it. Not on Memorial Day. This is the day we honor the fallen. And like I said in the beginning of the show, all gave some. Some gave all. And there's a reason we honor them, that these dead shall not have died in vain, that we know there's a better solution out there, and the people who are coming up now are working on it. But the fact of the matter is, at Bellowwood, at Tarawa, on the stands of Iwo Jima, going up Mount Suribachi, into the Battle of Okinawa, into the Verdun Forest, into the Battle of the Bulge, at Dong Ba Tin, Bon Supar, Play Morong, in the Korat, in the Bora Tora Hills of Afghanistan, in Fallujah, in the Green Zone in Baghdad, all along the coast, and all along the border of Syria, as brave men who served and died, so you could watch television, enjoy yourself. Take a minute this weekend to remember them, in silent remembrance, that these dead have not died in vain.
Very nice, Dominic. And for those of you that didn't hear it in his voice, you can see it in his face. So, and yes, everybody, just remember this weekend is not just to have a barbecue. There are many that have given their lives just so we can do this kind of stuff, so we can sit here and talk and have a fishing show. So remember that this weekend. Deb has done a wonderful job of decorating the place, so we're all in the spirit.
She always does.
So for those of you this weekend, if you're tournament fishing, if you're not tournament fishing, you'll probably catch all the good fish. But get out there. Be wary of the storms. I think you might have some openings in the morning, but obviously it's that time of year. The afternoon starts rolling around, and it starts rumbling around. So
remember what Freddie says, it's better to be safe than sorry. Boy, I bet we have some better news next week. Tell me we're going to have
better
news. A
little bit less rain, but I think it's starting Monday or Tuesday we start this all over
again. And the
again,
beach so. Is going to be blown
the
out
beach
again.
Is, let's just hope that the weatherman's wrong. It's happened before.
Okay, it's be careful before. Out there.
Everybody have a great weekend. Thank you for tuning in. Another great Friday night on the Treasure Coast Fishing Report. We'll be back in a week. We'll do it again next Friday. Frank, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Everybody have a great night and go catch a fish.